So we've spent this Advent and Christmas season, we've been looking at some of our favorite Christmas movies and exploring how we can be the hope, the joy, the love, the peace, and the generosity that so many people need during the Christmas season. Today, we're going to wrap up that series and we're going to look at Unraveled Plans, and we're going to explore that through the film Four Christmases. Now, a disclaimer, do not run out and rent this film for your whole family, because as opposed to all the other ones that we've taken a look at, this one is targeted at teenagers and up. There is some crude humor in this one. So everything we're going to show you this morning is fine. It's all family friendly, but I didn't want you to get that sense it was a family friendly movie and you go rent it and, you know, you get upset at me. So forewarned, it's teenagers and above. So why did we choose this movie today? I think it's going to make sense to you once the message is over as we consider what happens in our lives when things do not go as planned. Four Christmases released Thanksgiving 2008, so it's 9 years old. At that point, our daughter was 4 months old, and my wife remembers watching this movie with her sister-in-law, and they busted a gut laughing so hard. Part of the reason it was so funny was our life stage at the time. The movie deals a lot with having children or not and newborns in the home, and that's exactly where we were. We were married 5 years, we had a 4-month-old, we're adapting and adjusting to having a baby at home and all the chaos that can arise from it, and the movie mines that for comedic gold. This movie follows Brad and Kate, a couple that do anything to avoid spending any time with their family over the holidays. Both of their parents are divorced, so if they have to go home for Christmas, they don't go to one Christmas, they go to four Christmases. For years, they've come up with this plan and a lie to avoid it all, except for this Christmas, because their lie is finally exposed. Watch this.
What he's trying to say is that we plan a trip every year, and this is actually ruining our Christmas.
You must be pretty upset. Are you visiting friends and family?
This is Kate. Oh, hi, Mom. I know, Mom, all the flights are canceled for today, but they're not really, they're not sure about whether or not it's going to be today.
Honey, do you want me to answer it? Do I answer it or no? Do I pick it up or not?
Yes, I know. I understand how you like it, Mom.
I don't even know what you're saying. What do you want me to do? I don't know what this means. I don't know what you're saying to me.
All right, he's going to give you a big hug when he sees you, Mom.
I'm not hugging you.
Yeah, he's really excited about the hug. All right, we'll see you at noon.
Noon? Are you crazy? Did you just commit us to going over there?
What did you want me to say? They just saw us on the news. We are obviously not inoculating babies in Burma. We are stuck here. By the way, what did you say to your dad?
Well, I told my dad that of course we'd be going over there. But don't compare your situation to my situation. There's a nuance that you seem to be missing here, Kate. My dad's a unique, specific animal. Your mother's not.
My dad, your mom, my mom, your dad. Great.
Yes, great. We have to go to all four families in one day, Kate. Do you have any idea what this means? Do you have any idea what you just committed us to?
I know exactly what this means.
Oh, this is going to go well. So, well, we find out in the movie that Brad and Kate think they're this healthy couple, as opposed to the dysfunction seen in their families. And there's a lot of dysfunction that you see in this film. But as the movie moves along, that's not the case. Brad and Kate are, in fact, stuck. They haven't spent much time reflecting or discussing where they're going as a couple, and they are stuck and they don't even realize it. Will they have kids or not? Are they going to get married? How do their families get along? What are their career goals? It's not just their Christmases that get unraveled, their Christmas of going somewhere warm and sunny, but their entire relationship. Their entire relationship becomes unglued. Brad and Kate are going to be confused and disturbed throughout this film, not just at the dysfunction they see in their families, but also in their own relationship. And as a matter of fact, you see in the film that there are some of their siblings that have it more together in certain areas than they do. Now, it can happen to many couples today that lives become entangled and enmeshed without really much thought or reflection. People move in together, lives and families grow together, and there's sometimes no discussion at all on marriage or long-term future planning. We want to avoid the DTR, the Define the Relationship Talk. That's what we called it in college and seminary anyway. I have no idea if they call it that anymore. We call it the Define the Relationship Talk. The classic Christian practices of no physical intimacy before marriage, and I'm using a euphemism here for our multi-age congregation today. No intimacy before marriage, waiting to move in together before marriage, that all seems incredibly quaint and just Victorian era morals that we don't practice anymore. But it's still the biblical model. It's still the one we strive for, that we lift up. And studies show that it can still lead to very happy and long-term marriages. It's in fact one of the many factors that lead to long-term success. Now, confused and disturbed will be Brad and Kate's state throughout this film as they deal with their stuckness. In the Christmas story, there is no end to people confused and disturbed with what God is doing in their midst. Those very words are Mary's response to the angels. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Joseph was confused, disturbed, and he was angry when Mary told him that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph manages to recover. He responds with grace. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Now, the Greek word translated here, decided to, is also translated to become angry. We don't need to guess and assume that Joseph is angry. The text is telling you, Joseph was angry. The shepherds are more than confused when an angel and a choir disrupted their night. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, they could have stayed stuck in their confusion and their terror, but they don't. What moves them out of their stuckness? Joseph is in tune enough with God to know when an angel is speaking to him, when God is actually talking to him, and he changes course. He is still in tune after Jesus' arrival to flee with Jesus and Mary to Egypt as refugees when King Herod begins his murderous spree. Mary heads to Elizabeth's, her cousin's home. She goes to a family member to process everything that's happening in her life. The shepherds, switching from terror to celebration at the angel's message, they do what the angels tell them to do. They go to Bethlehem. They go see what's happening. They respond when God speaks into their life. Friends, we deal with stuckness in our own lives just like they did, by staying in tune with God through prayer, through worship, through study. We talk with trusted family members and friends who are pursuing God. We talk to them and bounce things off of them, help us to see blind spots where we might not see them. When God speaks clearly in our lives to act, to go, we move, just like the shepherds did. God does not want us to be stuck in any areas of our lives like Brad and Kate were. God wants us to move forward, to surrender our lives to Jesus, and to become more like Jesus in all that we do. Perhaps as you look back over 2017, there are areas in your life that you just feel stuck. It could be your relationship with God. It could be a career, romantic relationship, some kind of changes that you want to make. Friends, make today the day you decide to get unstuck, to make a change, to make worship attendance a priority, a life group, a class, serving, to get in tune with God. Seek out and engage committed Christians when you've got a fork in the road, a decision to make. When God clearly tells you to go or to make a change or to act, do it. Don't wait. Act. Make 2018 the year you become unstuck. Brad and Kate's first Christmas is with Brad's father, his brothers, a niece, some nephews, and some spouses. And Kate learns things, some things about Brad that she was not expecting. Watch this.
Honey, I am so sorry that you had to see that. Listen, let me apologize for them. And if you want to say mistletoe because it's too heavy for you, I get it. I totally get it. Don't feel weird about that. If you need to get out of here, you let me know what your comfort zone is, because that was weird.
I cannot believe you did not tell me your real name.
What are you talking about?
It's just crazy to me. We've been together for 3 years and I don't even know your real name. Doesn't that strike you as a little bit odd?
No, bad enough I have to deal with those Neanderthals, but now I gotta take it from you too?
No, you shouldn't. And you shouldn't let them walk over either.
Kate, they are trained UFC fighters. They know pressure points on people.
But, Judge, let me just let you know the truth. They're intimidated by you. What you need to do is go out there and set some healthy boundaries and demand that they respect you. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm not a kid. You can't talk to me like that anymore. We're adults. Do you understand? I'm a grown man with hair on my chest, right? there's going to be certain boundaries that are going to exist between us now. And if they aren't crossed, there's going to be real consequences to that. Thank you.
Oh, brothers. So we get the first taste that Brad and Kate's relationship is not where it's supposed to be. They've been together for 3 years, and she didn't know his first name was actually Orlando. She interprets this as the tip of the iceberg. What else don't I know about you? What else do I not know? What else have I missed in the years that we have been together? Her good-hearted attempt to set boundaries doesn't quite work with the cage-fighting brothers who've had nothing but fighting with each other for decades. Now, since we are all human beings that make mistakes, we are all sinful, it follows that our families are not perfect either. We have various things in all of our families that are not perfect. And as we grow up, as we move out, as we have our own lives, as we consider having families of our own, we reflect on our growing up years and we carry over some things and we leave things that we did not. I still remember learning how to drive as a teenager, and I was learning to drive with my mother, and that lasted one time. Because I was coming, I thought, to a perfectly decently slow stop on 7th Street, to which she did not think it was because she was screaming bloody murder in the seat beside me. So that was the last time we did that. Dad was a much better teacher and driver. So as I reflect back on teaching my kids how to drive, I think in that situation, I'll be more like my father and not like my mother who was screaming bloody murder in the seat beside me. Now, she might have a different interpretation of events that I was going 50 miles an hour and coming to a stop, but I don't think that's how it went. So one of the main purposes of our premarital counseling here at Legacy is to have couples have these conversations and reflect on everything from having children to parenting styles, if they're going to go down that route, how they deal with money, to in-laws, to chores, to faith. We even have these conversations about which parents are you most like. If I'm in an honoring mood, I'll have them pick for each other about which parent they think their spouse is most like and see if they agree with their spouse's assessment. And actually, it works out to some great conversation. There's some great and honest conversations they have about which parents, caregivers they think they're like, and they have a good chat about it. So if you're interested in some conversation over brunch and lunch today, ask your spouse who you're with which parent they think you're like and have a good chat about it. Now, Kate's impulse to set boundaries, that is a good impulse, despite its first failed attempt to apply them. When we think about the Christmas story, Joseph, when he's dealing with the news that Mary is pregnant, he sets up a boundary immediately, and that is a rock-solid, non-porous boundary. There'll be no communication with each other. They'll no longer be engaged. Their lives are going in completely separate directions. In our own lives, sometimes there are relationships that are so toxic, so damaging, so unhealthy, there must be boundaries like that. Our lives are going in different directions. We will never chat again. Joseph, of course, changes course after and changes the boundary after this angelic visit. Now, for the majority of us, the boundaries with families and friends are varying degrees of porous or open, and they're really defined by how often we can stand each other before we drive one another crazy. Now, last year's Christmas blizzard, where we were snowed into our homes for a couple of days, likely pushed some boundaries to the breaking point. I was at home and I was snow blowing the driveway, trying to keep ahead of the storm, and I finished admiring my work. I'm down in our apron and everything is clean, but I'm in my apron so the snow is like up to here. Don't know why I did it, not like I could go anywhere. I'm admiring my work, and as I'm admiring my work, coming down the middle of our street, walking down the middle of our street on top of all the snow is a solitary woman walking in snowshoes. So I had two thoughts. First was, yeah, this is where I live. I live in a place where you can only get around in snowshoes this time of the year. And two, did she finally have to get out of the house? Because this was 2 days into our Christmas blizzard. Did she finally say, you know, I'm done. I need 5 minutes. I need 10 minutes. I'm going to throw on my snowshoes and go for a walk. Setting boundaries for most of us with families, it really has less to do with toxic, unhealthy, and abusive behaviors and more with my personality grates with this member of my family. I need to balance family and friend time because we've got family to see here and there, and I've got friends I've got to see. So we balance it. We set boundaries based upon all these other people we need to meet. As we set boundaries in our lives, as we figure out how much to spend time with families and friends and loved ones, we do need to remember to savor the moments we get, because there will come a time that we are separated by our loved ones in death. Christmas, for so many people, is a bleak affair. They remember all these Christmases past and the friends and the family that are no longer here. As followers of Jesus, we have this future hope that in Jesus, all in Jesus, we will see again. I'm reminded of Paul's words he spoke to the Christians in Rome. He wrote to them, "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Yes, nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Yes, there is nothing to fear. And yet, in the present, to have yet another Christmas without those that we love by our side hurts. And that is okay for it to hurt. So Brad and Kate, they endure 3 of 4 Christmases, and they break up. They're done. They realize they're not on the same page on critical issues, and so they're finished. Brad confesses it all to his father, and his father is proud of him. Brad has this moment of reflection, realizes that while he loves his father, he does not want to be like his father in regards to love, to relationships with women. Kate also confesses it all to her father. Watch Kate's conversation.
Hey, kiddo.
Hey, Dad.
Did Brad leave to get a jump start on inoculating babies in Burma?
What?
Maybe he's making sock monkeys for foster kids, or weaving ponchos for pregnant women in the Yucatan.
So I guess you knew we were lying.
Oh, boy. Unfortunately, I've had a lot of experience bending the truth to avoid my family. And I'll tell you, honey, I would give anything to have that time back again.
I would, too.
It's taken me a lot of years, several divorces, to learn that nothing really beats being honest. Honest about who you are, what you need. All the rest tends to work itself out.
I was honest. And I think he was too. It just wasn't what I wanted to hear.
It's pretty good. She had a moment of reflection. I was honest. He was too. It just was not what I wanted to hear. Friends, that's where we find Jesus in 4 Christmases, taking time to reflect. Where am I going? Am I walking closer to God or not? As we look into 2018, starting tomorrow, where is God leading you? Where does God want you to get unstuck? Where do you need to set or change a boundary to make that happen? Where do you need to live in the moment, to be present, to fully enjoy the people that you're with at any given time? God wants you to be taking steps closer to Jesus, to be more like Christ in all that you do. God wants you to become unstuck through disciplines, through Christians, through trusted Christians, through acting when God says go, setting healthy boundaries, living in the moment. All of that is key as we become the disciples God wants us to be. So Brad and Kate do chat one more time. After they both had time to reflect, they consider what they want to do. We wrap up the story quite nicely in 90 minutes or less, as you do in any good comedy film. Watch this.
Okay, listen. If you get one, you might as well get 2, because they're like dogs.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about kids. If you leave one by itself at home, you're never going to leave, because you're going to feel so guilty about it being there by itself. But if there's 2, you don't feel bad because they got someone to play with.
Are you having this conversation with me because you're comfortable having this conversation with me? Or are you just having this conversation with me because you want to go to Fiji?
I want to go to Fiji. because the tickets are already paid for and, you know, the hotel rooms aren't transferable. But honey, I do feel comfortable now, I think, having this conversation, because in my heart, I know that I found the one person in life that I want to have these conversations with. And that person's you. I love you so much. So it's like, this doesn't mean that we're getting married or having kids right away. But we should talk about it because these things do happen. Not that we're planning on it, but we're just talking about it because these things happen. Mm-hmm. And if we do have them, then, you know, there's a lot of advantages.
Yeah, they're wonderful. I mean, they give you love unconditionally.
Also, they're like little walking tax shelters because you can write a lot of stuff off.
Yeah, that's
wow, I can't believe we did it.
We did.
John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement and many of our modern-day Protestant denominations, introduced a covenant service about 250 years ago. The service was a time for Methodists to gather every year for self-examination and reflection, something Brad and Kate desperately needed and something we all need, wholly giving themselves to God, renewing their commitment to God every year. Though it was held at various times throughout the year, by the time John Wesley died, it was celebrated on the Sunday nearest January 1st. So today, we're going to share in Wesley's covenant prayer from this service. If you're desiring to grow closer to Jesus by becoming unstuck, setting healthy boundaries, and living with God in each moment, join me in saying this prayer together. The words are on the screen for us. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.